Thank you, Terry. All right. Well, are you getting more attractive over the last few weeks? You probably don't want the answer to that question, do you? Not. But that's what we've been thinking about over the last few weeks is, are we attractive or are we just good looking? You know, because attractive comes from those inner qualities. It's about our character, and that's what we're thinking about, that God wants to work on our character. And so we started with the fruit of the Spirit and just sort of thought about how those are the characteristics that God wants to sow into our lives and into our personality, if you will, and how those are the changes that he wants to make. And then we took just three of them. We've talked about peace, and we've talked about self-control and how those are available to us. And that's the thing we need to keep reminding. And you say, well, you know, you read that list of the fruit of the Spirit, and you say, well, I don't have this one and I don't have that one. Yes, you do. It's just simply you've got to be willing to access those through the Holy Spirit. But tonight, of the three that we have been, that we are going to address in these few weeks that I've been preaching on Wednesday nights, we're going to talk about probably the one that all of us would say we struggle with the most. And that is the element of patience. Some of us would say that we are patient people. But then there would be people in our lives, maybe our spouse or our children or our grandchildren or people we work with, who would say, no, that person's not patient at all. Some people would say, I'm not patient. And you probably aren't, but then there might be people who say, well, yeah, that person's a pretty patient person. But this is the one, I think, of these three, peace and self-control and patience, that most of us would say that we struggle with the most. Because patience revolves around a four-letter word that we like to say, but we don't like for people to say to us. And that is the word wait. We don't like to wait, do we? We don't like to be deep in the line. We don't like to go in the doctor's office or the dentist's office and wait for 45 minutes or an hour out in the waiting room. We don't like that. And those are the kinds of things that make us impatient. What is it that triggers your impatience? Men, is it waiting on your wife? Eerie silence. Is it waiting on your kids to finally get it? Is it waiting on something to happen? Is it getting stuck in the drive-through line that triggers your impatience? I know what it is for me. It's the line at the grocery store. And, you know that search for the shortest line, and you know as soon as you get in that line, that means that line's going to quit moving, right? It's kind of like getting in the lane of traffic that's moving because your lane's not moving. As soon as you change, what's going to happen? The lane you just got out of is going to take off, and the lane you just got into is going to stop. But you know how it is when you go to the grocery store and you're standing in line, you find that line, and you see that person in front of you, you know, put their stuff up there, and the cashier's just ringing it all up. And then the person, you know, has got a coupon. And they stand there and they argue over a 10-cent coupon with the cashier. And it just goes round and you're like, man, here's a dime, you know, just get this over with. And the thing I really hate the most is those people, they've got all their stuff up there, and the cashier's checked it, you know, scanned it all, put it in the bags, and maybe the person or somebody's put it all in the cart, but they haven't gotten their money or their credit card out to pay for it. You know, and so they're just kind of standing there staring off into the middle distance or something, and, you know, don't you just want to go up to those people and tap them and say, you did realize when you came in here they weren't giving this stuff away for free, right? I mean, you were going to have, you understand, those little labels on the shelves were price tags, meaning you were going to have to pay for this. That drives me crazy, you know, because I'm thinking, look at how much longer I'm having to stand in this line. Something else that bothers me, my kids go to Rome High School, And so, you know, off and on over the last 4 or 5 years, I've had to take them to school. And the traffic pattern is you go drop them off on what I guess is the west side of the school, and then you drive around behind and come out. And when I first started doing that, there were no speed bumps. But a couple years ago, they put in speed bumps in the back of the school. Now, I'm not saying I was flying through there like I was, you know, at the Daytona 500 or anything. It's just that, you've got places to go, you got to get to work and that kind of thing, and they put in speed bumps. And these are those rough kind too, you know? And I'll admit, it frustrates me. Now, I know that those speed bumps, there's two of them behind the school that you have to go, well, there's actually about three probably. And I know that it cost me all of probably 5.6 seconds of my day that I have to slow down to go over those speed bumps. But it irritates me because I'm like, man, I don't want stuff in my way. I don't want to have to stop when I'm already going. You know, and so those are things that trigger my impatience. And there are a lot of things that trigger your impatience. When you get impatient, how do you react? Well, what do you do? You know, do you get frustrated? Do you get verbal? Start yelling and hollering at people and saying things? Do you get physical? Does your blood pressure rise? Or do you go to the silent treatment, you know, when you're impatient? I know, you know, understand that all of I'm starting with me tonight, okay? So I'm not here to accuse anybody of anything, but I know Tracy can tell when I'm impatient, when I've gotten frustrated waiting on her to come and to go to church or whatever, because most men do this, I think. I drive faster than I normally do, okay? I wouldn't say aggressive, but I drive a little faster, okay? Because I'm like, you got to make up time here, you know? I waited an extra 42 seconds on you, and I got to make that up, you know? Because you got to understand, ladies, not only have you lost that time, but you've lost the progress that you would have made, so you never really make that time up. See, all the men are nodding because they get that. They get it that when you're on a trip and you stop, you know, you've lost not just the 10 minutes, but you've lost 20 minutes because you would have been 10 minutes farther down the road and you're now 10 minutes behind. So y'all get that? You know, that's when, ladies, that's why we want to go, because see, we're losing double time actually when we're sitting and not doing anything. You know, so it causes a lot of different reactions. And so I want us to think about the issue of patience this evening. And I want us to start out by thinking about what is the character of patience. So we're going to name about 5 characteristics of patience, okay? And these all come from the Bible. Number one, patience is not quick-tempered. That's pretty obvious. Patience is not quick-tempered. One biblical concept of patience is a self-restraint that does not retaliate. Remember, we talked last week about self-control and how that has to do with restraining ourselves, with restraining our desires, restraining our impulses. You know, and really, when you think about lack of self-control, how does it often display itself? It displays itself in impatience. That's the way that it comes out, okay? And so patience is not quick-tempered. Patience is not quick to fly off the handle and to respond and to return insult for insult. But we're talking here about having a long fuse or a longer fuse. Ecclesiastes 7 verses 8 and 9 says, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools." We have to be patient. We have to make sure that we don't let our anger and our impulses get the best of us and provoke us to premature action or provoke us to premature words that we know we never can get back. And we can't undo the damage that we've done, or it's going to take a long time to undo the damage that we've done because we weren't willing to be patient. We were quick-tempered. And when something happened, something didn't go our way, we just responded. And we didn't take time to think about that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But patience is not quick-tempered. Second characteristic, patience is a matter of endurance. When you talk about patience, there's the concept, or there's the idea, the element of it, of hanging in there. The element of endurance or perseverance, sticking with it, being willing to wait it out, being willing to let things unfold. And so patience is a matter of endurance. James says, you too must be patient. This is James 5:8. You too must be patient and take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Notice what he does there. He ties patience and perseverance to waiting on the Lord's return. You know, now when James was writing that, what were they expecting? They were expecting that Jesus was coming back at any time. They were expecting that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. And then here we are 2,000 years later, and Jesus still hasn't returned. And so we still have to persevere. We have to stick with it. We have to endure. We have to be patient. And so if you're going to be patient, you've got to be a person who's willing to persevere and endure. And, you know, I don't think we talk about perseverance enough anymore in the church. I really don't. I don't think we talk about endurance and perseverance and stick-to-itiveness, if you will, when it comes to our spiritual lives, when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our walk with the Lord. Because the fact of the matter is, as many times we think we're in a sprint, but like everything in life, we're in an endurance race. That's the way Paul characterizes it in the scriptures, isn't it? We're people who are in it for the long haul. And so patience is a matter of endurance. Patience, this is the third characteristic. Patience reflects love. Patience and love are connected. In Ephesians, Paul says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be patient. And then it would be good if there was a period right there, wouldn't there? Be patient, end of sentence. Because then we could define it the way we want to. But Paul doesn't do that. Because he goes on, he says, be patient, and here's what I'm talking about. Bearing with one another in love. Here is something that we don't always think about, because we live in a society that is about rights and about our individual rights, and, well, I just don't have to put up with that, and I don't have to put up with you. And that's kind of the way we operate in our society. But understand, we're Christians and we live by a different standard. And the Bible tells us that there are times, particularly within the body of Christ, that you have to put up with me and I have to put up with you. You see, that's what loving one another is all about. Loving one another and bearing with one another in love. You see, we can't operate by the world standards of, hey, well, I just don't like you and I just don't agree with you, so I'm just going to go down the street, or you need to go down the street. We're Christians and we're held to a different standard. And it tells us we are to put up with one another. We're to bear with one another. We're to have patience with one another. That's a radical thought, and that's not something that our world sees, but patience reflects love. And that's one of the ways that we can show love to our spouse, our children, our fellow Christians, our fellow man, is simply by displaying patience. It's so rare. That catches people off guard. You know, when you don't just overreact or react immediately and fly off the handle, and you just kind of have some patience, you know, and you're just willing to check yourself, and that just disarms people, and they don't know what to do with that, because it's such a rare thing nowadays. But Paul very clearly says we're to bear with one another in love. We're to be completely humble and gentle and display our patience through love for one another. A fourth characteristic is that patience produces spiritual growth. James also says in chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, he says, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So here's how it works. As we hang in there, as we hold our temper in check, as we practice self-control, as we display patience, what happens? We grow spiritually. We grow in our relationship with Christ. We grow more like Christ. We grow in what it means to be a disciple. We grow in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ when we patiently endure difficulties and trials. You see, a lot of Christians want to wear the crown, but they don't want to go through the difficulties. And some of them are the same Christians that gripe and complain because we live in an era nowadays where everybody gets a trophy just for signing up. And I don't agree with that any more than you do. But in our spiritual lives, the same principle applies. If you want the crown, you have to patiently endure the trials and the difficulties and even the other people that those come from if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to live according to the Spirit and display the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is patience. It produces spiritual growth. And a lot of people never grow because they don't give God time to work through their difficulties and even the difficult people in their lives because they're so impatient. They just got to fix it and they got to do something. But patience produces spiritual growth. And then the last characteristic, patience is rewarded. Patience will be rewarded now through better relationships, more peace, fewer conflicts, more respect from others. People respect patient people. You become a more attractive person when you are patient. But patience also will be rewarded in eternity. James says in chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And so God is going to reward our perseverance, our willingness to stick with it, our willingness to be patient in all things and in all matters, and see what God is doing, and not take matters into our own hands and try to fix all of our own problems and fix all the people in our life and, you know, set this straight and set that straight. But those who are willing to be patient and persevere and endure, it says, they will receive the crown of life. So those are the characteristics of patience. It's not quick-tempered. It displays endurance. It reflects love, produces spiritual growth, and patience ultimately is rewarded. But what's the problem? Why do we wrestle with patience? Why do we so oftentimes find ourselves being impatient? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one is overload. This isn't in your outline. You can just jot these down. Overload. Overload is an enemy of patience. And what that simply means is that sometimes we overcommit ourselves and we try to do too much and we get too busy and we get all stressed out. And that is an enemy of patience. When we commit ourselves to too much and we try to do too much and we don't leave ourselves any breathing room, any flexibility, any margin for error, we get impatient when we get pressured. It's kind of like I said, when I feel the pressure of being late, I drive faster. You know, sometimes I'm not even thinking about it. It just happens because that pressure is there and I'm like, man, I gotta go. When you schedule your life so full that you can't handle it all, something's going to spill. There's going to be a leak somewhere. There are going to be words of frustration. There are going to be regrettable actions. There are going to be tense confrontations. You know, if you're experiencing all of that, there can be a lot of reasons for that. But one may be that you struggle with patience. You just can't wait. You've got to have it your way and in your time, and that time is always now. And now is a tyrant. Now is a tyrant if you're not careful. But when we overload ourselves, when we overcommit ourselves, when we overschedule ourselves, we can lose patience. Another reason we struggle with patience is expectations. Unmet expectations. Sometimes our expectations are unrealistic. A lot of times our expectations are very realistic, and yet they're unmet. And when our expectations are unmet, we oftentimes get impatient because it didn't go like we wanted it to go, or it didn't go like we thought it should go. And we have to understand, people are going to let us down all the time. People are going to let us down all the time. I mean, you won't hardly make it through a week, maybe even a day, without somebody letting you down. They're not going to meet your expectations. They're not going to do it the way you thought it should have been done. Most of the time, this is going to be somebody in your inner circle, somebody close to you, a husband, a wife, a child, a close friend, a trusted coworker. They're not going to meet your expectations. And then, of course, some people just simply have no tolerance for people. We've all got to figure out for ourselves if that's us or not. But some people just have no tolerance for other people. But here's something we need to understand about impatience, okay? Because we oftentimes talk like we get impatience with situations and circumstances. It looks that way, but all impatience ultimately is aimed at other people. All impatience ultimately is directed at other people. You know, because you really can't just be frustrated with a situation, because what's behind the situation? People. When you go to the doctor's office and you have to wait in the waiting room longer than you thought you ought to wait, you feel like you're frustrated with the situation, but who bears the brunt of your frustration and your impatience? The lady sitting at the counter, when you finally decide, you know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go tell them. You see, you're not going to go tell the situation, are you? Because you don't know. Because to you, the situation is the person. And see, this kicks us back then into, okay, I'm a Christian. How does Jesus, how does the Bible tell me I am supposed to treat people? How does the Bible tell me I'm supposed to handle life when life doesn't go my way? When it doesn't operate according to my schedule? Does the Bible say, get up and go give somebody a piece of your mind and tell them. Tell them why they're wrong. Tell them why they're inconveniencing you. I haven't found that verse. You know, and I'm not saying we need to be doormats and let people roll over us and all that kind of stuff. We all know that. But just understand, impatience is always ultimately directed at other people. So understand, when you're impatient, you might think you're impatient with a situation, but you're really impatient and you're frustrated at another person. And what's sad is that oftentimes is those that are closest to us. And so overload and unmet expectations are oftentimes what drive our lack of patience. But we don't want to stop there. We want to think about how then do we display patience? How do we display patience? How do we get to that point where we can show patience in those circumstances and situations where we typically get frustrated and impatient? So going to be three parts here, all right? And they'll kind of build on one another. Number one, to display patience, reflect before you respond. Reflect before you respond. If you're going to move to patience, you have to have reflection. Because reflection gives you the necessary perspective that fuels patience. The one thing that most of us in this room have that young people don't is we have more experience in life that gives us a different perspective than what they have, because they haven't lived very long and they haven't seen a whole lot. And you're probably like me, you realize that the older you have gotten, the more your perspective on some things has changed, because experience has taught you to look at things in a different way sometimes, where that's appropriate. And so reflection brings a different perspective that fuels patience. And what we're talking about here, when we talk about reflection, we're talking about more than a breathing technique. We're talking about more than counting to 10 or counting to 100. You've probably read that in a magazine. You know, you've heard a psychologist or a counselor or somebody say, and we try to teach this to kids, you know, when they're in counseling, well, you know, when you get impatient, when you get frustrated, you need to take some deep breaths, and, or you need to count to 10, or you need to count to 100. And what you see is you see this little kid, and he is taking those deep breaths, but all the time, what is he saying? He sounds like a steam engine that's just winding up, doesn't he? Because human nature is when we're taking that break, we're just letting the pressure build. See, it depends on what you do with that time. You can sit there and you can count to a million. And if you're not thinking right, in the time it's taking you to count to a million, you're just going to get madder, and you're going to come up with more reasons why you're right, more reasons why that other person's wrong, more reasons why you deserve to tell them off, and you're just building your case. See, it's when you reflect that you gain the perspective that you need to respond correctly to situations and people. So here's a differentiation we all need to make. The difference between rehearsing and reflecting. You see, sometimes we've all heard that, well, I need to take time, you know, I need to get away, I need to count, I need to breathe. And so we're sitting there breathing and we're counting, or maybe we are able to get ourselves to walk into the next room for a few minutes when we've gotten frustrated because it didn't go our way, and this is really impatience. And what we're doing is we're not reflecting, we're rehearsing. Because you know how you have those imaginary conversations with yourself, and you sort of play these scenarios out in your head because you're thinking, all right, I got to calm down. But here's what I'm going to do. When I walk back in there, here's what I'm going to say to her. And then I think she'll respond this way. And then here's how I'm gonna get her there. And then she's gonna say, and then, man, I've got her then because I've got this zinger. Man, I've got this one that's just gonna, I mean, it's just really gonna put her in her place. It's gonna be like, I'm gonna let that one go, and I'm gonna go, checkmate, and we're done, I win. Any of you ever done that? You know, instead of calming down, what you're doing is you're building your case and you're rehearsing. Here's how you know when you're rehearsing. When you're thinking more about the situation and the other person and what they need to do to fix this, you're rehearsing. But we're talking about reflecting. We're talking about thinking about examining your own heart. Examining your own motives. You see, when you're reflecting and you're examining yourself, you're doing more something like this. What is it in me? What is it in me that is causing this impatience? What is it in me? I mean, and you may be right. It might should have gone your way, but what is it in me that's causing me to react this way? What is it in me that's causing me to be so frustrated with my wife? Because here I am sitting in the car, waiting an extra minute and 3 seconds before we go to church. What is it in me that's causing that? You see, that's reflection. That's what being a Christian calls us to, is self-examination. When we reflect, we delay what's natural. We delay that knee-jerk reaction of impatience. And so then when we do that, we can respond with what's spiritual. Here's what Proverbs says. Proverbs 14:29 says, "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly." That's another word for foolishness. A quick-tempered man is acting stupid, is basically what that says. A patient man has great understanding. How many times have you gotten impatient only to realize later on that you lacked understanding about the other person and about where they were coming from and about what was really going on. So you need to learn to reflect before you respond. But even if you reflect, you've got to respond. So how should we respond? And that's our second principle. That's our second way to display patience, and that is to respond through prayer. I know that sounds very churchy. That sounds very Sunday school. But after you reflect, you still have to choose how to respond. Because after you reflect, you still could go back to your default position and holler at people and throw things and put people down and pitch a fit or pout or whatever you do. Because patience is about learning to manage pressure. Because impatience is the internal buildup of pressure inside of you. It's what a lot of our negative emotions are. And so if there's that internal buildup of pressure inside, then patience, if you're going to display patience, that's about learning how to manage that pressure. It's about learning, what do you do with that? How do you handle that? I want to give you two phrases to remember, okay? And here again, you've got to make a distinction. You've got to give it away or give it to. Give it away or give it to. Let's talk about that. You see, what happens in that scenario when we're rehearsing is, what are we doing? We're thinking about how I can give it to that other person. I'm going to give it to her. And I'm building this case. And I'm getting this argument. And I'm getting all these one-liners. And I'm getting all this ammunition. And I'm going to give it to them. Again, go back to when you're waiting in the doctor's office or wherever you're waiting, and you're just itching. You almost, it's like, okay, I'm going to go up here and ask for a pen at the window. And you're going to manufacture some opportunity just so that when they hand it to you, you can start. Because I'm going to give it to somebody. Because and here's what we do, husbands and wives. I'm going to give it to him. But I'm fixing to unload it on him. I'm fixing to put her in her place. See, I'm going to give it to her. And that's how we think. That's our natural reaction many times. But here's the other part. Not how do I give it to somebody, but how do I give it away? How do I give away this impatience, this frustration, this anger, this whatever it is that comes when I'm impatient? Because you got to learn how to manage that, right? And it's got to go somewhere. You got to let that pressure off. Here's what I want to say. Through prayer, invite God into the situation and give it to him. In prayer, invite God into the situation and give it to him. You know, it can be just simply something as simple as, God, you know, I'm feeling really impatient right now. And I just pray that you'll lengthen my fuse in this situation. God, I'm really struggling with impatience right now, and this is frustrating me, and I feel that anger coming on. And God, I just need you. I just need you to enable me to be patient right now. I need you to enable me to have self-control and to control my tongue and to control my actions, and just help me to be patient. And if you're a Christian and God's Spirit is within you, he's always near. And he says, you can be patient. But here's the problem. Most of us settle for things like the breathing and counting exercises. It's like, okay, somebody told me, or I read in a magazine somewhere, you know, one of those magazines you get there at the checkout counter. I said, okay, when you get mad and when you get impatient, just count to 100. And you know, I try that counting to 100 stuff all the time, and it just doesn't work. I get to 100, and man, when I hit 101, I'm just like a boiler that just blows. It just doesn't work. And then when it doesn't work, we just resign ourselves to being impatient, and we start excusing it, and we say, well, you know, I'm just not a patient person. That's just not my personality. And here's the good news for you. You're not a patient person. But the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is. And if you go back to Galatians, where we started a few weeks ago, what does the Bible say? It says, that we are to walk in step with the Spirit. That's how the fruit of the Spirit comes out in our lives. And so, no, you may not be a naturally patient person. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He is able to do in you and through you what you cannot do yourself. And one of those things, praise the Lord, is patience. He can bring patience out where we can't. But you have to be willing to ask God, not just give in. You know Philippians 4, verse 6, we referred to it before. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Just tell Him what you need. Present your request to God. God, you know, we think of that as in, well, God, I need a new car. God, I need a new job. God, you know, maybe what you need is just, God, I need patience right now. I just need to be able to hang on. I need to be able to have a different perspective so that I can see the long-term view and I don't just get so caught up in right now that I can't do anything else except get mad. And so you respond through prayer. And then the third principle for displaying patience is simply this: pray for His kingdom to replace yours. Pray for His kingdom, God's kingdom, to replace your kingdom. Because when I look at life through my kingdom, I see irritations and interruptions. When I look at life through my kingdom, meaning my schedule and my way of doing things, I can see three or four speed bumps behind a high school as, why are these people so ridiculously dumb that they put these things out here? Don't they know that they're getting in our way? Don't they know all they're doing is slowing us down and keeping us from, and it's taking 5 seconds of my time? You see, but that's because I'm just looking at it through me. I'm just looking at it through me and my wishes and my desires. But when I go through my day and see things through God's kingdom and His perspective, I see anticipations and appointments that God wants to use me to meet. In other words, I see people that God may want to use me to touch and bless. And not people as just impediments in my way. You see, we get impatient with people because we see them as obstacles. You know, I've got my to-do list. And I don't mean to pick on mothers because it can happen to fathers, but you've got your to-do list of things. And sometimes you get impatient with your kids. Why? Because they're keeping you from getting your to-do list done. Hey, listen, I've stayed home with little kids, you know, before. When we first had kids, Tracy and I, what we did is I would work in the morning and she would work in the afternoon. And I would be at home with the girls by myself from 1 o'clock to about 5:30 or 6 o'clock when Tracy got home. I loved to get, I used to, you know, I had a tractor. I'd get out and mow our lawn and stuff. You know, it really destroys your peace riding a tractor when your kids are always interrupting you and you got to stop. It's just no fun, you know. It just, and so we get impatient because they become obstacles. Now, how many times have you done that? How many times have you looked at somebody that's important to you as an obstacle? Like, man, they're getting in my way right now because I got something I got to get done. You know, people are not obstacles. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that a Christian, at some point in life, if you're a follower of Christ, that means that at some point in your life, you've come face to face with this reality that Jesus, it's not about my kingdom and it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about me, it's simply about you. And when you came face to face with that, the Bible tells us that God placed His Spirit in your heart. And this is the same Spirit that enables us to be people of patience. And so we have to learn to respond according to His kingdom and His kingdom's principles, not according to ours. Jesus teaches some very counterintuitive things. Jesus said, if a person strikes you on the cheek, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. He said, if somebody demands that you go with them a mile, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say, hey man, I'm up for the next mile. Let's go. Here's something else Jesus says, Matthew 5:44. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Be patient with other people. Love even those who get in your way sometimes. Love even those who seem like an obstacle in your path that oftentimes cause you to be impatient. You see, you ask God to help you respond with that kind of response. Because when I get impatient, my tendency may be to strike out or strike at someone, because that's because I'm interested in doing my thing. It takes seeing things through God's eyes and through a kingdom perspective for you to be able to set yourself aside and know, well, you know, this may be a kingdom thing, and I need to check myself. I need to check myself. And so when your primary concern is a kingdom response, you'll be more likely to express patience and be attractive. God wants to help you with patience. You've got a choice. And we finish with this. You can react when triggered and cause pain, or you can respond with patience and cause change. You can react when triggered and cause pain, or you can respond with patience and cause change. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, all of us know that at times we struggle with this issue of being patient, having to wait a situation or a person out. It's not easy. Lord, we live in a society of do and now and me and my way. Lord, that's a struggle for us. So we just need you to give us an eternal kingdom perspective so that we see people and situations in our lives in a right way. We don't filter everything through our own desires, our own impulses. But Lord, that's all filtered through you. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who brings this fruit, this love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and gentleness, and self-control. And Lord, just so much that we cannot generate in and of ourselves. But may we learn to walk in step with your Spirit so that that fruit is displayed in us. And we know that goes against our natural inclinations. But Lord, we know that we have to rely on your supernatural presence in our lives. So make us attractive, Father, as the fruit of the Spirit is displayed in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night.